Now, the rest of the story. There are monsters, mostly in the movies or in our minds, but sometimes on the moors and sometimes in our midst. On a forbidding barren stretch of European countryside near the Czechoslovakian border, in a crumbling wooden shack that might have collapsed with the next wind, there lived a man. He was middle-aged when I first met him a number of years ago. He'd been living in that hovel a very long time, not because he preferred it, but because he was hiding from the world. With his aging widowed mother, his only companion, he had until that point been able to seclude and to support himself as a farmer, but now in order to make ends meet, he was forced to walk among other people, to take a job in a textile factory. There he shied from fellow workers, and they from him. The unprepared, seeing him for the first time, felt a chill. Many would gasp and turn away, and if you had met him on a lonely street one evening, you might have reacted similarly. But had you approached him, he might have run. And had you attempted to photograph him, he may have become enraged because, you see, that desolate human being had abandoned all hope of goodwill and something else. He was haunted by the unending nightmare that someday, somewhere, his gaze would fall upon that one irresistible woman who, for whatever reason, would not resist him, and he would become the father of a monster. As you may have guessed, it was an accident of birth that led to his lifetime of misery. Most of his relatives had died in the war. Now all were gone, except for his mother. It was from her, while he was away at work, that we learned much of what we know about him. Yes, he did feel the eyes of strangers upon him when he went to town. Yes, he did ache inside when sometimes he was greeted with revulsion. His only peace was in the church he often visited when the candles were lighted and the sanctuary was vacant. There he incessantly beseeched God's forgiveness for no sin at all, but instead for what he was. In an extension of that twisted reasoning, most scorned him, some wished him dead, and all that he knew. And had you, in those days, journeyed to old Vienna, then north toward the Austrian border with Czechoslovakia, you may in that barren countryside have come to a run-down shack, to the dead end of one of life's lonely byways, and to a man. Yet forewarned of a hideous creature, you would no doubt have been surprised to find that he was not disfigured, but an ordinary fellow with two arms, two legs, and one head. Because that much-feared monster was perhaps lurking in his blood. And if strangers sometimes greeted him with wide eyes, it was because they saw what he saw in the mirror, the inherited and eerily precise physical features of a murderer long dead. For he, Adolf Schmidt, named Adolf after his cousin, in the decades following World War II, became the only surviving blood relative of Adolf Hitler. Only now you know the rest of the story.